Welcome back to the Neath-Port-Talbot Innovation Exchange Forum. This is a group that brings together businesses in the Neath-Port-Talbot region to share ideas, encourage collaboration, and get access to opportunities and funding. Now, the remit of this forum is to encourage growth, to up skills, and to reinforce the economic opportunities. And this is thanks to the Community Renewal Fund.
You know, we're very eager to work with Neath-Port-Talbot Council, existing businesses in the kind of wider Swansea Bay area on how they can make the journey or the transition towards offshore wind.
So in this podcast series, I've been talking to businesses in the region and they've been sharing their successes, challenges and visions.
Our grand vision is of the order of hundreds of millions of pounds worth of infrastructure investment, and we need local staff and human resources to help us deliver that. Beyond that, I think there's a huge opportunity for the manufacturing supply chain for offshore wind to come and co-locate. And that co-location of supply chain, then you start to build up a clustering effect.
A wide range of different businesses in manufacturing, engineering, tech, and innovation. Now, this podcast will be of real interest to businesses across the Neath-Port-Talbot region. ABP Ports, the UK's leading port operator. ABP has over 30 years' experience in servicing the UK's offshore energy industry, supporting developers through the full offshore wind project lifecycle. Joining me today is Andy Ray.
Welcome, Andy, from ABP Ports to our podcast, our Neath-Port-Talbot Innovation Exchange Forum podcast. Great to have you on with me today. For those who don't really know much about ABP Ports, please give us some background information. Tell us what you do.
Associated British Ports, we are the largest group of ports in the UK, both in terms of the number of ports we have and the tonnage across the ports. It's a group of 21 ports which provide import and export facilities for a whole host of different sectors, everything from cargo containers, steel, the energy, forestry products, agriculture, and increasingly offshore wind, which is my particular area of focus for Associated British Ports. So we're a big contributor to the economic activity in the UK, and I think that corresponds to around 7.5 billion of economic activity. We're a big player in this space, and we're looking to be even bigger in the future.
So how does the port then, how does the association with offshore wind work with the ports? Let's talk a bit about that.
ABP have been associated with offshore wind and onshore wind probably for the past 20 years, but it really started to get very interesting around 2010 to 2012. That was when we began thinking about using our ports to assist in the construction of these large offshore wind projects. And the kind of flagship investment we made alongside Siemens Gamesa was up on the Humber, a facility called Greenport Hull. It represents around £310 million worth of investment from ABP and Siemens Gamesa. And that facility is kind of the UK's flagship investment in terms of offshore wind. That became operational in around 2016 and has been hugely successful, supporting a whole host of UK projects. Since I've joined ABP, we've identified a few other potential areas where we can do similar sized investments to support the offshore wind industry further. And one of those kind of major elements of that is Port Talbot. Port Talbot has, I believe, a critical role to play in the development of what we call floating offshore wind. So the existing installed capacity, well, the majority of the installed capacity in the UK is what's called fixed bottom. Effectively, the turbines are fixed to the seabed on either jacket structures or monopiles. Basically, you can only do that in certain seabed locations related to the water depth, but there's huge potential around the territorial waters of the UK to do what's called floating offshore wind. So you can do that in significantly deeper water. And that is really where Port Talbot is going to have a huge role to play to support all of the projects which are in train for the Celtic Sea region, and even as far as potentially the west coast of Ireland and down into the coastline of France, Spain and Portugal.
That's amazing. In a bit more detail then, can you say what impact and, you know, for the economy in Port Albert and the Swansea Bay region, what impact, how is it all going to work? How is it all fit together?
Yeah, so ABP, we've got five ports in South Wales, and I'll try and remember them. It's Barry, Newport, Cardiff, Swansea and Port Talbot. We did an assessment of the various physical features of those ports, and it became clear to us that Port Talbot is the one which has the most current capability and potential future capability to support this floating offshore wind industry. And the reason for that is because Port Talbot has deep water capability. And what's critical for these floating offshore wind turbines and the construction of these offshore wind farms is that you have deep water within the port to do various activities related to the turbine installation. So Port Talbot on paper was the obvious solution. Port Talbot has a huge number of additional benefits. It's within an existing industrialised area. So adding to that, we've got the human resources within the local environment to help support that economic activity. It also has probably the existing industrial capacity to then support that primary construction. So we're going to need things like welders and construction supervisors, technicians, quality control people, managers, a whole host of different roles are likely to be required to support this new industry as it builds up in the Celtic Sea. My view is that Neath Port Talbot has that exit and the wider Swansea Bay area has that existing kind of capacity to be able to provide all of those resources and existing businesses.
So it's great for job growth and upskilling people. So, you know, obviously, I'm guessing, as you said, there's going to be more jobs created through this offshore wind across the region. It's not just going to be in Port Talbot itself.
Correct. Yeah. But these are, I wouldn't necessarily say new skills. I think there's a huge scope for us to repurpose existing skills. So it's about learning the specifics of applying, for example, a construction supervisor's role, taking that from a kind of conventional house building environment and turning it into a more dedicated offshore wind related skill set. So we're going to need to put in place various schemes to help people in the local economy to make that transition. In my view, that we have to do that at various levels. So we have to probably start right now looking at those people who are looking to leave school and go to colleges so that they're on the right courses to be able to support this future industry for South Wales. Because it's going to take us a number of years before we can build the infrastructure. And these projects probably aren't going to really get going on what we call gigawatt scale until the end of this decade. So we've got time to put in those schemes and systems to kind of help people make that transition into very kind of offshore wind related skill sets. So, you know, we're very eager to work with Neath Port Talbot Council, existing businesses in the kind of wider Swansea Bay area on how they can make the journey or the transition towards offshore wind.
Well, that was my next question, because the forum talks very much about collaboration and we talk about how businesses can work together and we look at opportunities that are going to present themselves for businesses. So, and you've just touched upon that in terms of obviously businesses using eventually that, you know, that energy supply, if you like. But in the meantime, leading up to that, how else do you think the ports can work with local business?
Well, probably a few things here. One, when we get into the build phase of redeveloping our port, we're going to need a lot of construction workers to help us do that. It's what our grand vision is of the order of hundreds of millions of pounds worth of infrastructure investment, and we need local staff and human resources to help us deliver that. Beyond that, I think there's a huge opportunity for the manufacturing supply chain for offshore wind to come and co-locate. And that co-location of supply chain, then you start to build up a clustering effect. With adding up all the constituent parts, then begins to add up to more than what they would individually. And we've seen this work really successfully on the Humber. So on the Humber estuary, they have a cluster organization, which part of our Greenport Hull investment, reached out into the local business community, and they did surveys and they did audits of organizations, kind of to just to test their readiness to join the offshore wind supply chain. And where there were gaps, either in quality systems or standards or skills, they could be identified, and those companies could then fill those gaps and make the transition into offshore wind. I can see a case to basically copy and paste that kind of outreach program from a successful area like the Humber Estuary and translating it into South Wales, because it's been really successful up on the Humber Estuary. The Humber Estuary is now probably, you know, the largest sort of offshore wind industrial cluster, if not in Europe, then almost certainly in the UK. And we can replicate the success of that in South Wales.
Yeah, it sounds so exciting. What sort of support do you think you're going to be needing from Welsh Government, from local council, in terms of getting this up and running? And again, one of the things that I've talked to the businesses about on this podcast is the support that they get locally and from Welsh Government, and many of them rely very heavily on it. So how do you think that will fit in with what you're doing?
I think I would say we've had fantastic engagement with both Welsh Government and Neathport Talbot Council so far. We are very early in the process, and our development plans will start to ramp up over the next 18 months. We've had some very constructive discussions with Welsh Government, helping us to kind of craft our message and, you know, gain wider support amongst the various Welsh Government departments. In terms of Neathport Talbot Council, I think their primary role is going to be preparing the local economy to kind of absorb this additional activity. So it's around that business engagement and setting up the skills transfer pathways to be able to provide the labour resources we need. I think Welsh Government also has a role to ensure that when it comes to the consenting route for these large infrastructure projects, not just the port infrastructure, but also the offshore wind farms, there's going to be a huge amount of consenting and consultation with local stakeholders as part of that. And I think Welsh Government's going to play a really key role in messaging that this is, it's absolutely critical, not just to the UK economy that these projects go ahead, but it's going to be really critical to the South Wales economy. And actually, it helps us on our journey to net zero as well. So Welsh Government messaging around that, I think, is really important.
Absolutely. You talked about, you know, a lot I've been involved in the past in Swansea with the tidal lagoon projects and trying to get power sources from elsewhere. And I think something like this, and the fact that it's worked elsewhere in the UK, it is massively exciting. How will you, you know, we have a huge number of universities in this area. Will there be engagement with the universities in terms of the manufacturing and using the research that's available as well?
Yeah, so that's not necessarily for us as the port to kind of really drive along. But looking at it from an offshore wind market perspective, that there's a huge amount of innovation that needs to be done, specifically in floating offshore wind. So there's a real opportunity there for South Wales to grab the innovation piece of that. And I think the local universities are going to play a really key role in that. What I would say is they need to find partner organizations who are in the offshore wind supply chain to really help the universities understand what our challenges are and what they should be working on over the next 10, 15 years to help us solve those challenges. There are various innovation clusters already existing in and around the UK, but I think particularly for floating offshore wind, there's an opportunity there for particularly South Wales universities to get a foothold.
And what other challenges do you foresee, do you think? It's a positive question, because obviously with a challenge, it becomes an opportunity. So what challenges do you foresee over the next, well, you're saying this is going to be the next 7 or 8 years, as this starts to emerge and go ahead?
Well, the industry itself has several key challenges. One is the consenting, getting that consenting pathway correct and done in a timely manner is critical for these projects to stay on their current timeline. That's one piece. The second piece is around the skills we've just mentioned. If the UK in general continues on its which we all believe and hope it will, on its net zero journey, large proportions of the UK workforce are going to have to reskill into areas to support that transition. Offshore wind and floating offshore wind specifically is just one of those areas. So we will effectively be competing with all of these other technologies for those resources. So floating offshore wind has to make its case to all those young people leaving school now that it's a career that they want to get into. And I think that is one of the challenges, and we need to start publicizing that challenge, but equally publicizing the opportunity and the really kind of high-skilled jobs that could, or careers that could come off at the back end of this.
Has the Humber project finished? Is that been set up, or are you still midway through that? How is that?
That project's now operational. They're actually looking to expand that factory now. So it's into its second phase of life, so to speak.
And what difference has that made then to the economy up on the northeast coast of the UK?
Well, the story that I like to tell is there are lots of emerging markets around the globe now looking at offshore wind generally and how they can pivot their own energy systems towards offshore wind. The UK was really one of the first movers and, you know, for a long time was the market leader in terms of offshore wind installed capacity. And of that, the Humber estuary was the kind of flagship kind of case study for how you should develop a cluster in and around that. I did a lot of work in Taiwan and Japan and the US, looking at how they were going to expand their own markets for offshore wind. And they all want to come back to the Humber to learn the lessons that the Humber has been through on its journey. On a global stage, the Humber is recognised as one of the big success stories. In South Wales, we should be, you know, exactly learning the lesson from them. And it just so happens that ABP is potentially going to be involved in both sides of that. So we can definitely provide that hands-on experience and that track record.
Absolutely. I don't know if you can answer this question, but I was looking at the vision for Wales, the ABP vision for Wales. First of all, I was incredibly taken aback by the amount of business, for example, that goes through Swansea, which I'm guessing covers Port Talbot as well, in terms of, you know, business coming in via the port, business going out by the port. It's something, and I know, I guess, that local businesses perhaps aren't really aware of, is the enormity of influence that the port has on the local area and the local economy.
Yeah, I mean, across our five ports in South Wales, they're some of the busiest ports within our group in ABP. What I would say is that the transition for the UK economy to net zero, the structures and the systems and the pieces of technology involved, they are all port centric. So ports are going to be right at the focal point of this energy transition, because we've got that import export of materials. We've also typically got large amounts of development land in and around the ports, which can host all of these new technologies, new factories. My view is that ports are right at the heart of the energy transition, both for offshore wind and for other technologies such as green hydrogen or CCUS, which we're starting to see developed up on the northeast coast of the UK.
Another question that I've asked some of the businesses that we've talked to was about COVID. And I'm asking the question about COVID because I think there's an overall view that COVID was very, very difficult for so many businesses and so many people. But there are a huge amount of businesses that diversified and grew out of that situation. How did COVID affect the ports, particularly in South Wales? But how was it affected, or was it not really affected?
We were affected in the sense that actually the impact was probably indirect on us. So the ports are considered, well, some ports are considered critical infrastructure. So we had dispensation from the kind of isolation rules, and a lot of the ports remained operational throughout the entire period. One of the challenges we had was getting the material, once it was imported into the port, getting it off-site. So the number of truck drivers was drastically reduced during that period. So we started to see some backlogs amongst a few ports in the UK. That was probably one of the biggest challenges we had, was getting the material off the port. But the ports themselves, I think, talking to my operational colleagues, pretty much ran as they would normally, with some adaptation to the operating procedures.
And it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's interesting how various sectors perhaps were more affected than others. But I think, you know, that the whole transportation thing, you know, was a massive issue for a huge amount of people. Finally, then, last question really is, what would you like to see coming together from the businesses in this region now over the next few years? We've talked a little bit about collaboration, but what would you like to see now going forward? What message can we send out to the local manufacturing engineering business community about what's happening at Port Talbot?
I think that there's a element of awareness raising that needs to be done. So there are lots of very credible organisations and companies already operating in the South Wales economy. We just need to explain to them what the size of the prize is for them to start looking at offshore wind. Once we've done that, I think it'll become obvious to them that there's a huge opportunity here, and they'd be almost crazy not to give it a serious thought of transitioning their business to help support it. And we can do that in a whole host of different ways. When we worked on the Greenport Hull project, the local authority had grant support to then reach out into the local business community to raise awareness, as I was describing earlier on. We can do Meet the Buyer events. There's a lot of interest from developers starting to come into the South Wales at the moment. I'm sure these guys are going to want to engage with the local supply chain, because what we want to do is grab as much of the economic value of these large multi-billion pound projects offshore. We want to grab as much of that into the local economy as possible. And the only way to do that is for those local companies to understand the opportunity and to be able to provide it. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then the natural inclination will be to bring those resources in from outside of the area, or even worst case scenario, outside of the UK. And that's certainly not something we want to see.
No, and I think, again, talking to businesses, I think there's a massive appetite to collaborate, work locally with large organisations that are doing things to help either the economy or to get to zero in terms of carbon emissions and have a much greener economic future. I think that's really important for them.
Yeah, we almost need a kind of convening body, somebody who has an interest in encouraging these businesses to come and engage with the floating offshore wind market, somebody who has the kind of the connections to be able to pull all those guys together, whether that's the local authority or some other kind of local business organisation. I haven't taken a view on that yet, but certainly something we have to explore probably over the next 6 months.
Well, it's very exciting, and I'm fascinated. I didn't really know an awful lot about all of that until today. And I'm sure lots of other people are going to be extremely interested in what's happening over the next few years. So I'd just like to thank you very much for your time, and thank you for talking to me about the offshore wind and ABP Ports. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much to Andy. What a fascinating discussion. And we look and wait with bated breath to see the opportunities available for all of us in the Neath Port Talbot region. So thank you, Andy, and thank you for listening. This podcast series is available through fortheregion.org.uk and also through Neath Port Talbot Council. If you'd like to get involved or take part in the podcast, contact me, Helen, at fortheregion.org.uk.